Heavenly Father, we thank you that we can gather around your word, the Bible, now and spend time thinking about it. Please speak through it to us by the Spirit's power. Work in our hearts and transform our thinking, our understanding, our wills, our desires, our sight of Christ and his servants. And through all this, we pray, move our lives that we would more and more follow Christ. We pray in his name. Amen. Amen. You'll see my name in lights. Don't forget that. You'll see my name in lights. Jenny Garbus. Don't forget that. That's going to be a global name. That's going to be an entrepreneur everyone looks up to. Well, maybe some of you remember Jenny Garbus. I don't know. Here's another. I pride myself on not having any negative or bad traits about myself. They're all good. They're all positive. Sorry, I'm not quoting American presidential statements. This is from The Apprentice a couple of years back. Another. I'm the definition of success. I'm a godfather of business, and I'm here to make Lord Sugar a lot of money. I wonder what you would say if you're given 25 words to describe yourself. What would you say? The apprentice applicants all seem to have one thing in common. They're extremely arrogant. And it seems to be that you have to say rubbish things like that to get on the programme. They're boasting about themselves, about their abilities, that they have power to do this, that and the other. And on MasterChef the other night, one of the chefs said, I am the perfect chef, or words to that effect. Okay. Here's another one, though. To be fair, here's another one. This was Varna Koutsomitis. I believe this is a marathon, and if you have stamina, and if you do things with integrity, morals and direction, you can get where you want to go. That was a breath of fresh air, so I'm just putting that one in amongst the bunch, just to show they're not all quite as bonkers as the others. Well, maybe self-confidence is a good thing, but maybe it isn't everything, and there are other paths to success. Have a listen to what Mary says about the Lord. This is chapter 1, verse 51. He has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. So when it comes to approaching God, arrogance and self-confidence won't do. So imagine a scale for approaching God. 0 to 100, and 100 is brilliant, and 0 is rubbish. And where do we put ourselves on the scale as we approach God? Some, maybe you're included in this, secretly put yourselves near the top at the 100 mark. Others, put yourselves right down the bottom at the 0, and that's probably as mistaken as the first lot. Now, God is definitely at the 100 mark. That's what God is like. He's perfect and holy and wonderful. And now, if we think of God as being at the 100, now where do you put yourself? Particularly if you're someone who was thinking you were at the 100 in the first place. And now, what if we put a mark on that line? Arbitrary place. If this mark's acceptable to God, I'll mention this again later. But supposing that mark, maybe, don't know, would mark where you'd have to be acceptable to God. Are you above the line or below it? Well, we'll come back to that later. Here in this passage today, we've got two humble women. Humble women. They are in awe at God at work. Elizabeth, in our passage, says to Mary, "You're amazing." And Mary says, "No, God's amazing. You're amazing. No, God's amazing." Very kind of Jason to pray for Claire and me. And we want to say the same. God is amazing. This passage, as we get ready for Christmas, is going to show us two attitudes towards God that are going to consign self-confidence to the bin forever. So, here's the first attitude. Be amazed at what God is doing in Jesus. Be amazed at what God is doing in Jesus. So how does that come from Elizabeth and Mary? Well, story so far, Mary is pregnant by God's power. Elizabeth, a relative of hers, is 6 months pregnant by the miraculous work of God between her and her husband. They're very old, they hadn't had children. Zechariah was visited by the angel Gabriel, told her he was going to have a baby. He didn't believe it, so now he's done, but he is going to have a baby. Mary visits Elizabeth. And Elizabeth says, "Wow, wow, the mother of my Lord is here." Verse 41. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. In a loud voice she exclaimed, "Blessed are you among women and blessed is the child you'll bear. But why am I so favoured that the mother of my Lord should come to me?" Now, shouldn't Elizabeth be the centre of attention here? This is quite an amazing thing, this old lady having a baby. She always wanted one. God is at work in her family's life. Why isn't she the centre of attention? Well, the Holy Spirit has brought her a revelation, seconded by that thump within her. Mary's baby is the Lord. He's the Lord. The mother of my Lord has come to visit her. And Mary says, "Well, it's not me. God is very great." She points to God, not herself. Verse 46, Mary said, "My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God, my Saviour, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name." God is brilliant, says Mary. God is brilliant. They're both amazed, aren't they? They're both in great wonder. On that scale where God is at 100, they just don't even think about featuring on the scale. They're not bothered. They're looking at God and how great he is. Now, why are they so amazed? It's because Jesus is Lord. This is a great revelation to Elizabeth from the Holy Spirit. That baby is Lord. She's one of the many people in Luke's gospel who are going to tell us this along the way. So the angels are going to tell us when they speak to the shepherds, chapter 2, 11. Simeon in the temple, when baby Jesus is taken to the temple, 2:30. Jesus himself is going to tell us in a way when he's a teenager in the temple, young lad. John the Baptist is going to tell us that Jesus is Lord. God himself at Jesus' baptism is going to tell us. The demons are going to tell us, chapter 4. Again and again and again, we're going to be reminded of this feature. Be amazed. Jesus, that baby, is Lord. He's not just an ordinary baby. He's more than that. He's not just an ordinary man. He's more. Jesus is Lord. He's God on earth. He's the ruler of all things. He's our Lord personally for each of us. And this is why Mary is blessed. Not that she's got something in and of herself that is wonderful, but because she's been given this immense privilege. We've got a lovely couple in our church, Roy and Ivy, and they had a great privilege a few years ago to go to Buckingham Palace and meet the Queen. Wow! Blessed are they amongst Mordeners. That was a blessing of the Queen to them, wasn't it? A great privilege. And here Mary is blessed. She's been able to be the mother of Jesus. Not yet, she's still pregnant here. But she also believed the word of the Lord, didn't she? When he made that promise. Verse 45, another revelation to Elizabeth. Blessed is she who has believed that the Lord, that's God, would fulfill his promises to her. So in our run-up to Christmas, as we approach Christmas, we've got lots of shopping to do maybe in one way or another. We'd love to be able to meet people. That's very difficult, hardly possible to do. So we might have a lot of food to eat on our own, perhaps. There's still stuff to do, but will we stop amongst what we are doing in the midst of coronavirus and stop to think, am I amazed at that baby? Perhaps if there was a way we could kind of erase all of our nostalgia and all of the things that have happened at previous Christmases and make Christmas a brand new thing that we'd never come to before, and we could hear for the first time that that baby was the Lord of heaven and earth, then we might be struck in the way that we could be struck every time. It'd be great, wouldn't it, to see it the first time, like Elizabeth saying to Mary, "Blessed are you among women, why am I so favoured that the mother of my Lord should come to me? Blessed is the child you'll bear." Maybe you're someone who's here in person or online and you're not yet trusting in Jesus. Lord means that Jesus is the Son of God. He's God on earth. The Creator has become a child so that he can do that mission of rescuing us. Now, on that scale of 0 to 100, where does that put Jesus? Puts him right at the top, doesn't it? Can you see that Jesus is at the 100 point alongside God the Father? And because of that, will you trust him? Will you trust him and his promises? Be amazed at what Jesus, what God is doing in Jesus. Here's the first attitude that can consign our self-confidence to the bin forever, because we can be confident in Jesus and what God is doing in him for us. Here's the second attitude. Be humble to receive Jesus' rescue. Be humble to receive Jesus' rescue. God will not deal with us until we humble ourselves before him. I don't know if you've ever been to a funeral where my way is played during the funeral. It's crazy, isn't it? That takes God off the 100 point in the scale and it puts the deceased there. I did it my way. Stuff everyone else, stuff God. My way is the way. But God will not deal with us until we humble ourselves before him. Did we do it God's way? Have a look at what Mary says in this great song of hers, verse 51. Halfway through. He, God, has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He scattered them. He's brought down rulers from their thrones. Brought them down. But has lifted up the humble. So what have Elizabeth and Mary got to show us about being humble? Well, Elizabeth, not a word about herself. Mary, it's not me, it's God doing all this. Verse 46, my soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Saviour, for he has been merciful. They both understand God's greatness and they're standing before him. They understand God's greatness. God's greatness. Look what Mary says in verse 49. The mighty one has done great things for me. Holy is his name. His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. This is the greatness of God that Mary sees so clearly. He's mighty. Mighty to create, to intervene, to speak, to fulfill. He's holy. He's set apart from all of us, unlike us, in his greatness and wonder, in his perfection and righteousness. Better than all of us. He's merciful as well. Doesn't treat us as our sins deserve. What a great God we have. So they understand God's greatness, and they understand, having seen how great God is, they understand they're standing before him. On the scale of 0 to 100, it's clear where he is. He's at the top. God is 100. Where are we? Well, God needs to be merciful, doesn't he? So we are underneath the line, wherever the line is. And the line certainly isn't as high as that. Well, sorry, I beg your pardon, put it the other way around. The line wasn't there where I had it before. The line is there. The line is 100. God wants us to be right with him. So he has to be... Excuse me. He has to be merciful to us. Merciful, not giving us what we deserve. What if he abandoned us to what we deserve? Well, fortunately he doesn't. And that's the wonder of Jesus coming. So they understand they're standing before God, and we need to understand ours too. Mary describes what God has done and what he will do in Jesus. Verse 52. He's brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. He's filled the hungry with good things, but has sent the rich away empty. So with our Lord Jesus Christ, he lifts up the humble before God. We humble ourselves before God and say, God, I'm not worthy of you. I've not done what you want. I have turned my back on you. I need you. He lifts us up. He fills the hungry before God with good things. He said, Lord, I'm desperate to have you in my life. My life is nothing without you. My 63-inch TV and my Range Rover Vogue are useless. I need you. He fills the hungry before God, sends the rich, the rulers, the proud away. Liz and Mary understand their standing before God, and we need to too. We need to be humble to receive Jesus' rescue. So we need to learn that God brings down the proud and lifts up the humble. What's a humble person? It's someone who knows where they are on the scale, and that is nowhere near the top. We're down near the bottom somewhere. We're humble. We're not acceptable to God. We cry to God for his help. Not self-confident, but God-confident. Because in Jesus, we've got the help. You see, the self-confidence people would say, well, David, you're running people down. And you're going to really hurt them. Well, I would if we said, just don't be self-confident. But we've got someone to be confident in. We've got some solid ground to stand on. We've got someone to turn to lift us up where we are completely unable to. God brings down the proud, but he lifts up the humble. And again, you see this in Luke's gospel. It's a big theme of Luke as he tells us what happens with Jesus. So who do the angels tell? Shepherds, humble people. Who meets Jesus in the temple? Some little old guy who's been praying for years. At Simon the Pharisee's house, who is it who ends up forgiven? The woman who's been weeping all over Jesus. In Jesus' parables, who's the hero when the lost son goes off? Well, he's not really a hero, but God's the hero, but the lost son is lifted up. The tax collector in the temple is lifted up. And even the centurion, who you might think, not in a parable, but an actual event, who you might think had reason to be proud, he humbled himself before Jesus and his servant was healed. It's a great theme in Luke's gospel because that is what Jesus is about. God brings down the proud and lifts up the humble. So what about you and me? It's hard to be humble, isn't it? It's hard to say, I can't do this on my own. I need your help. And that's hard in all sorts of areas of our lives. But it's true. Perhaps some of the older people in our church have had to be humble about getting online so you can watch the service online. Oh, I don't think I can do this thing. Can you help me, you've said to a relative or a friend. And they've helped you. Humility isn't easy. But it is how we become believers, followers of Jesus. How we become a Christian. We say to God, look, I've lived under your 100 point. On the scale, I'm nowhere near the top. I need your forgiveness. I need what Jesus has done. I want to accept him as Lord. And we'll never do that if we're not humble. Because otherwise, if we're arrogant or proud, we'll say, I'm right near the top. I don't need what Jesus has done for me. No, we need not to be self-confident, but God-confident. Years and years ago, there was a big emperor called Charlemagne around 800 BC. He was a Christian. He could have played my way at the funeral because he was the boss of everything. Everything went his way in a way. But this is what happened at his funeral. Instead of playing my way, when the funeral cortege of Charlemagne came to the cathedral, the gates were barred. And the bishop stood there and shouted, "Who comes?" And the heralds with his coffin said, "Charlemagne, Lord and King of the Holy Roman Empire." And the bishop said, "Him I know not," answering on behalf of God. "Who comes?" The heralds, a bit shaken, said, "Charles the Great, a good and honest man of the earth." Again, the bishop says, "Nope, him I know not. Who comes?" And now the heralds say, "Charles, a lowly sinner who begs the gift of Christ." And the bishop says, "On behalf of God, him I know. Enter." Well, who knows if that really happened. But that's the point, isn't it? It's humility we need before the Lord. God brings down the proud and lifts up the humble. So how can I continue as a disciple in the Lord? The same way I became a Christian, by being humble before God. I don't know if you've noticed the words of the Lord's Prayer. We don't pray, "Thy will be changed." We pray, "Thy will be done." That's what Mary says here, isn't it? "Thy will be done." Humble to God and humble before each other as well. Looking to others' needs, not our own. In our mind's eye, putting each other on the scale above us. I think of another Mary I knew. And this Mary was in a wheelchair. And sometimes she felt she was pretty worthless. But maybe because of that, she valued other people more highly. And she wanted to help people. And she chatted with people wherever she was, especially in hospital. And because of that, she was a great evangelist and witness to Christ in hospital. She's very humble, but definitely not worthless. Here's a quote from Bishop Ryle. I quoted him last week as well, didn't I? He says, "It is the grace which is within the reach of every converted person. All are not rich. All are not learned. All are not highly gifted. All are not preachers. But all children of God may be clothed with humility." What about you? Well, who are we going to put our confidence in? Will it be ourselves or the Lord Jesus? What are our attitudes? Will we take these attitudes on? Will we be amazed at what God is doing in Jesus? Be humble to receive Jesus' mercy. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you that what you are doing in Jesus is wonderful, and that he is the Lord of heaven and earth and sits at your right hand. Even though there he was, about to be a baby here on earth with us. And we praise you. Help us to be more and more amazed as we think of this. Work in our hearts and give us joy and wonder, so that we would love you and praise you more and bring you glory and honour this Christmas. And help us to be humble so that we can receive your mercy. Humble in accepting you, humble in trusting you, humble as we reach out to fellow believers and others. Help us not to be self-confident, Lord, but to have confidence in him. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.